king, clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice.
Thank you. everybody sing.
'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like the blood His mercy
Thank you, Lord.
So we're just going to ask Father, go ahead and sing.
I remember how you told me that life may not be easy, and everything that I need you've already given me. I remember how you told me I can trust you completely. So why am I doubting when you prove that you'd fight for me? You've walked me through fire, pulled me from flames. You're in this with me. I won't be afraid. Of my redemption, Lord, how could I question when you proved that you died for me?
You walked me through fire, pulled me from flames. If you're in this with me, I won't be afraid.
Say darkness it's hard to see. So just be brave and follow where He leads. Greater is the one who's in us than he who's in the world. So child of God, remember the battle is Father is working even now. Your prayers have been heard, and the answer's on the way. There's a miracle in the making for you today. Your prayers have been heard, and the answer's on the way. There's a miracle in the making for you today.
Your prayers have been heard, and the answer is on the way. How many is thankful for that this morning? Amen. And the promise that Jesus Christ is our healer. Amen. We're so thankful. We're praying that Sister Linda's going to be in great hands, we know. And let's join with me and give our medical first responders a hand clap of appreciation. They have to be ready regardless. They never know when emergency might happen. But thank God that we're just going to believe that God's going to touch her body and make her stronger. And hopefully she'll be back with us very, very soon. God bless you. Brother Jim, if you would come this morning and go ahead and receive our Sunday morning offering, and then we'll just go right on with the service this morning.
Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Through song and praise, as we lift up the Lord in all that we do and all that we need, but most of all, He is an on-time God. Whether it's in the church house or whether it's in a situation other than that, we know that through praying and lifting up the Lord, but most of all that He hears us and He knows our needs in each and every situation. We are going to go ahead and take up our morning offering and then prepare for our service. Love each and every one of you. Glad you're able to join us this morning. I do have a big announcement. I'll do it a little later this morning if we can, how the Lord leads. But as we go to prayer, let's remember all the prayer requests. We know it's for Sister Linda and Brother Tom right now, that the Lord would just touch her. And for each and other, there's so many that's gone out on the text blast, so many you see on the screen, our prayer box. And I know there's situations that you have in your heart right now. If you have a prayer request right now, just show by the raising of your hand. And as we prepare to take up this offering, we want to dedicate it strictly to the Lord and let Him just use it and just let Him multiply His ministry in what He would have us to do. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we come to You this morning, dear Lord, with an open heart and an open mind. Lord, we love and we praise You. Lord, Your Spirit is working amongst us now. We feel Your holy presence. Lord, we know that You're an on-time God, and dear Lord, we just want to worship and praise You. Dear Lord, as we prepare to take up this offering this morning, Lord, we ask that You'll take it, that You'll use it, You'll multiply it for Your ministry, dear Lord, for You, dear Lord, to use in everything that You see fit for it to be done with. Lord, again, we thank You, dear Lord, for each and everyone in attendance this morning, those watching online, dear Lord, for all the prayers that have gone forth. You've seen our hands that were raised. You know those situations, but dear Lord, nothing seems important right now but You. And Lord, may we put You first in all that we do. Again, dear Lord, we thank You for giving us that we may have to give to offering to Lord for those in need, and we give You all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
rejoicing that will be. Amen. How many knows that pain, sickness, and death will be no more? What a glorious promise we have, amen, from God himself. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, he goes away and prepares us a place. Can you imagine what the Lord has prepared for us this morning? Amen. So good to be in the house of the Lord. We welcome each and every one of you. Just going to say right off the bat, I don't know what the Lord is going to do this morning. I was sitting in my study this morning, and God just totally changed my whole thought process. So I don't know what you're going to get. Amen. But I pray this morning that that the Spirit of the Lord will take over. You know, the Bible says, be instant in season and out of us. We never know. Amen. If we, first of all, being raised Pentecost, you never know what's going to take place in the service anyway. But I was just thinking, if I had my choice of any place in this world that I had might get sick, I'd want it to be right here in the house of the Lord. Amen. Because I am with believers. I'm with people who can get in touch with the Lord. Amen. And we know that God is here. Amen. And we're just praying that Sister Linda is going to recoup and do well. Amen. But you know what? I know she would want us to go ahead and carry on with the service this morning. Amen. Because God, never know. We never know what God has in store, what God's going to do. But so we're so glad that you're here this morning. So as we endeavor to enter into what the Lord would have for us this morning, let's begin maybe in the book of 1 Samuel. And can I say this is nowhere near what I've been thinking about all week and trying. I already pretty much had a lesson plan. Amen. But that's all right. God's changed it before, but he usually gives me a little more time. Amen. Amen. In the book of 1 Samuel in the 13th chapter, I'm going to bring your attention to two verses, verse number 5 and verse number 6. And thank you for standing for the reading of God's word. The prophet writes, "And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash, eastward of Bethaven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits." Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, as we come this morning, God, so humbly standing before you, I ask, God, the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Father, I pray this morning, God, that you would just anoint this vessel. God, that you would speak to us this morning, that you would have us to hear. Father, help us to be submissive, Lord, and receptive to your word. Father, we're thankful that you are an on-time God. Father, for we never know what emergency might rise. But God, we know that you are the God of emergencies. We know that you are the healer of the body. And for that, so we're so thankful. Father, again, I pray, God, that the Holy Ghost would just take charge of this service, lead us and guide us and direct us in the path and the way that you would have us to go. And we'll be careful to praise you. And we give you all the honor, all the glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. If you love the Lord, give him a hand clap of praise this morning. You may be seated. Praise God. This morning, as I've already spoken, the Lord kind of directed me in this avenue, and I believe the Lord knows better than we do what we need. But if I had a lesson topic or title of a message this morning, it would simply be this. And it almost comes as a warning, if you would. We won't have victory while hiding in caves. We won't experience the taste of victory if we're fearful and hiding in places that are dark, trying to conceal our most inner fears. We find here that Saul had just come on the scene. If you remember, your Bible history, Bible readers know that for a long time, Israel
was directed by the hand of God, led by the hand of God, in which he chose prophets, and he chose men like Moses and Noah and some of the others to sort of give leadership into the children of Israel. But he alone was the one that basically guided them as a king. But Israel, after they began to see other nations, began to desire to be like other nations. Folks, let's do not let history repeat itself. I believe that we are living in the greatest nation that there is on the face of the earth. It was founded on godly principles by godly men. But when we look and begin to desire to be as others are, rather than to be what God has called us to be, then we're setting ourselves up for a lot of problems and a lot of trouble and inevitably a great fall. So is the case of Israel. But God, in his awesome power and majesty and greatness, is still a God of grace and still a God of long-suffering. He allowed the children of Israel to elect a king. His name was Saul. We find that Saul was now entering or basically finishing up his second year of reign as king over Israel. And the Bible says that Saul chose him 3,000 men, and he went and he destroyed the garrison of the Philistines. He totally wiped them out. And this stirred up the anger of the Philistines. And the Philistines, we find in the scripture now, are preparing a battle with Israel. Now, the Bible tells us that the Philistines gathered themselves together. You know, there's a time that somebody told me that you don't bother a hornet's nest. You treat it with care and you treat it with respect. And I can't help but think that Saul was not waiting on the move of God. Listen to me, church. That he was not waiting to be led by the Spirit of God, but he chose to lift himself up and to prove to the children of Israel that they had made the right selection in bringing him to be king of Israel. So he sought out a place where he knew that he would be victorious. He outnumbered the garrison of the Philistines. But little did he realize that by going in and destroying the garrison of the Philistines, that it rose, made anger rise up in the enemy. They began to prepare for battle. Now, as they began to prepare for battle, word spread through the nation of Israel just how prepared that the Philistine army was. And I just read it to you. Some 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, people and armor as much as the sands of the sea. Rather than the children of Israel feeling emboldened and feeling like victory was near to their grasp, they began to run and hide in caves. They began to run and hide in thickets. They found holes or pits to hide in. They were not prepared, ready, or spiritually ready to fight the enemy as they approached. Now, during all of this time, Saul disregarded the prophet Samuel. Let me tell you something. When God speaks, we better hear and we better obey. Amen. Regardless of what man says, if it's not sanctioned, if it's not backed up by the Word of God and by the anointing of God, then we may be jumping the gun a little bit rather than waiting on the move of God. We find in the preceding chapters that Samuel, the prophet, had told Saul, he said, go and tarry in Gilgal, and in 7 days I will come there, and I will offer a burnt sacrifice unto the Lord for an offering of peace, and you will wait till I get there. But how many know sometimes we as a people, we as a children of God, grow very impatient, waiting on the Lord to deliver us. Waiting on the Lord to answer a prayer. Even sometimes waiting on the Lord to heal our body. And I'm a firm believer that he can do all three and more. I said, I still believe in healing. I still believe in deliverance. I still believe in a born-again experience with the Lord. I still believe that God calls people into his work and into his ministry. But there is a time, amen, that we need to wait on the voice of God and the move of God, because when we get ahead of God, we get into trouble. So after 7 days, Samuel hadn't showed up. Now, I know none of us Pentecostal Bible-believing prayer warriors have ever grown impatient because God didn't show up when we thought that he was supposed to show up. And I know none of us churchgoers and Bible believers and prayer warriors ever take it upon ourselves to fix something that we ask God to fix. We just don't do that, do we? Can I get an amen? If you can't get an amen, can I get an old me? Probably more so the old me. We grow impatient. We say, Lord, you know what? I've given you a time limit. And you haven't done it. So I'm going to go ahead and jump the gun here, and I'm going to go ahead and do something on my own. Then we find out it was the wrong thing. Then we're back in the altar crying, God, forgive me for growing impatient. Forgive me, Lord, for getting ahead of you. If I had just waited on the Lord, then I wouldn't be in the mess that I am now. Well, Saul, feeling his oats and feeling that he was the king and he must do something of the mess that he has created by jumping ahead, he decides that since Samuel has not showed up on the designated time that he was supposed to be there, he'll just do a burnt offering himself. God had already ordained the prophet Samuel to do the burnt offering. But Saul says, you know what? Bring me of the heifer, or bring me, and I will do a burnt offering unto the Lord. So he does. And then Samuel shows up. And Samuel is just absolutely beside himself. Can you not wait on the move of God? I'm paraphrasing. Why did you see it that you had to jump ahead and do something that God had already ordained to be done? I learned a long time ago, through hardship, through distress, through problems in area, amen, that God, when God fixes it, it's fixed, amen. I don't need to add to it. I don't need to take away from it. I certainly don't need to jump in front of him and try to do it myself. How many knows that God's ways and his thoughts are higher than ours? He has a way. We are to be submissive and obedient to his word and to his will. And when God moves, I will assure you, it will be right. If you believe that, put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. So Saul goes ahead with the burnt offering. He conducted it just like Samuel would. Come on. Let me just kind of throw this out. Sometimes if you're not getting a bite, you try different bait. If you're not getting a response, you try a different hole. Amen. Sometimes we can go through the motions just like we always have, but we don't get the same results. Sometimes we can even sing the same song that brought the house down last week. But this time, it just kind of goes over the heads of the congregation. I'm talking about the same words, verbatim. Same testimony, same music. But you know what? I found out that if we'll just come into the house of God, throw away the programs, throw away our expectations, throw away that we got to do this now and we got to do that later, and then we'll dismiss and go home just like an ordinary Sunday. Let me tell you something. The God that I serve doesn't know anything about ordinary Sundays. He's going to have what he wants to do, when he wants to do, and how he wants to do it. And I want to get in the will of God and say, Lord, I don't want to get ahead of you. I want to be right in the center of the move the power and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Help us to be, Lord, patient. Help us to be, Lord, responsive to your spirit and to your anointing. God, if you want to change the sermon, that's all right. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's your book anyway. Hallelujah. I'm just honored to be able to use it. Amen. To encourage myself and others and find strength and comfort in the Word of God. Well, we've always sung 178. Listen, I love this church hymnal, and I love the songs that are in it, but I want to tell you, it'll never take the place of the Word of God. It will never, ever take the place. Oh, it'll bring joy. It'll bring shouting, and thank God for that. And I believe there's some authors that wrote songs under the anointing of God. But I find salvation in the Word of God. I find help in the Word of God. I find miracle performance in the Word of God. I find help where nothing else could help me. I find direction where nothing else could lead me. I find strength in the Word of God. Hallelujah. And I want to be led by His Spirit and never try to lead His Spirit. Hallelujah. Samuel's just distraught. Saul, I can't believe you did this. What part of the instruction did you not understand? And I want to just pause and say, I don't think it was just the burning of the sacrificial offering. It was the mindset in which he performed it. Let me tell you something. The prophet was offering up something that the Lord had laid upon his heart. God, we're going to give you this burnt offering of sacrifice and praise and a peace offering unto you, knowing that whatever we face, you're still our God. You're still our deliverer. You're still the one who gives us strength. Amen. We're not doing it out of fear. We're doing it out of respect and worship and adoration. But I want to tell you something. Saul was doing it out of complete fear, because the Bible says he was in a strait. It was in a strait. They was in a tight spot. They had stirred up the Philistine army, and here come the Philistines just by multitude. And rather than fighting and standing their ground, the army and the children of Israel runs, and they hide in the caves in the darkness. Don't know who God is speaking to today, but I want to reassure you this morning, and I really want to drive that point home. You're not going to get victory hiding somewhere in darkness. You're not going to get victory hiding somewhere, amen, afraid that if you upset the devil. I've never really understood that. I've heard Christians who have been Christians for years, saved, filled with the Spirit of the Lord, saying, you know what? We had a great service Sunday. I'm just afraid the devil's going to be all over me on Monday morning. Let me tell you something. When God gives you victory, when you gain ground, amen, don't ever back up and relinquish what God has already given you. There's some of you here today that God has promised you things that you still have not received because you're afraid that it might upset the devil and he might come against your household or he might come against your family. But I'm here to tell you, as a man of God, I'm here to back it up with the scripture that God is greater than anything the devil could ever bring against us. Oh, how many believers do I have this morning? How many victorious saints of God do we have? Hallelujah. Samuel said there's a right way to do this thing. Come on. Hallelujah. I don't ever want to come into a church service totally rehearsed about what we're fixing to do. Come on. Hallelujah. If we'll come in the church service with a mind made up, God, we just want to be led by your Spirit. My wife told me something this week that that really caught my attention. What are you laughing about? Over the 46 years, she's told me a lot of things that caught my attention. But I didn't ever answer. I just kind of thought about it. She said, why don't you sometime just come right in, go right to the pulpit, and preach the message first? You know what I started to tell her?
We don't do that.
I didn't know we do that at First Pentecost Church. We sing first, we take up the offering, then we have special singing, and then if the Holy Ghost don't fall and spread all over the church, then I might get up and preach. But I did tell her this. I don't know where it came, through history or whatever, but sometimes I feel like changing the altar service to the very first thing. That's the very first thing. Oh, you got a burden? Bring it on down. You got a problem? Bring it on down. Hallelujah. You got a heartache? Bring it to God. Hallelujah. You need something from the Lord? Come on down. Hallelujah. The water has been stirred spiritually. Bring it to the Lord. Then what kind of service would we have if everybody got delivered at the very start of the service? Well, Brother Eddie, that's just not our way. Samuel said, why did you do that? Told you I'd be here in 7 days. I was a little late. You know what? I think sometimes God just tarries just to see how we react. Now, if we say, hey, he'll be here, don't worry about it. But that's not what we do. He said he'd be here. He said he'd be, I don't know what I'm. The Lord should have done been here. He should have answered this prayer. He should have done give me victory. He should have done this. He should have done that. No. We should wait on the Lord. Amen. So then Samuel gives the bad news to a king who's in just finishing up his second year of authority and reigning over the children of Israel. He said, you know what? Your kingship's not going to endure. The reign of Saul will not endure. Little did Saul realize, and I don't even think that Samuel fully knew, because God used him later, but God began to formulate a plan of action. You know what? We could spend an eternity trying to formulate a plan of action that God can speak into existence in a matter of seconds. But God began to realize, and that's when I think that he realized that the next king is going to be a little shepherd boy. Because I know that he's going to be obedient unto me. And I know he's not going to put himself up is something great. And I'm going to use him. And then later on, when God anoints Sam, tells Samuel to go anoint the king, he goes and looks for the biggest, strongest sons of Jesse. God says, nope, no, not him, not him. Is this all your sons? Well, Jesse said, yeah, except this little old ruddy one. He's back out there in the back 40 watching the sheep. Samuel said, go get him. Go get him. The Lord is going to use him. Hallelujah. But you know what? Is it very interesting to me? Samuel anointed him king and sent him back to the pasture. I know, Lord, I want to do it now. No, you go back to the pasture. You go watch your daddy's sheep. You kill them lions. You kill them bears. Because you're getting prepared to lead the children of Israel through my anointing and my authority. I want to just go ahead and share this with you. Whoever God puts in this pulpit, amen, don't you look to them, but you look to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Because God is the one that gives the anointing. God is the one that uses the vessel. And if we don't dedicate our vessel unto God, we're going to find ourselves scratching our head just like Saul did. Well, I did it just like you. Amen. But wait on that anointing. So even in all of that, I want to tell you how good God is. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I want you to think about this. Has anybody here in the congregation ever felt like they maybe failed God? If you didn't, you'd probably need to search your soul. Because we're all human. We're flesh. But even after that, and we're so remorseful, and we're so distressed, and we're so beating ourselves up, if we find an altar of repentance, and we humbly ask the Lord, Lord, you know me. I get human. And Lord, I act like a human. I say things, I do things that humans do. I'm not proud of it. I'm confessing to you, Lord. Please forgive me. Help me to do better. Encourage me, Lord, to be more like you and to let the mind that was in Jesus be in me. God, in his infinite mercy and grace, forgives us and gives us another opportunity. So even in the failure of Saul to do the Lord's will, he went through the motions, but it wasn't ordained by God. His son Jonathan looks around and he sees the children of God whose generation marched through dry ground in the middle of a wet sea. Sometimes I don't think we realize what a miracle that was. And they also were able to live 40 years on manna rained down from heaven and birds that walked into the camp. Hallelujah. If that had been some of us, what's them birds doing here? It's your sustenance. You ever got something in the mail? Wonder what that is. I don't understand what this is for. What's that for? It's your blessing, dummy. I'm sorry. I was talking to myself, not you. But we're trying to find out how did all this happen. God chooses to bless those who bless him, who serve him, who regard him, and who live for him. Don't question the blessing. Receive it with thanksgiving. Jonathan looks around. He sees the army hiding. I don't know if I get in trouble with this or not. But I look around today and I see children of God, saints of God, who dance the aisles of victory, who knows what it is to feel the power of God shimmering and hiding in darkness, afraid of the very fear that's in the land today. Can I tell you? We need a spiritual Jonathan. Glory to God. I want to tell you now, it wasn't Jonathan that was able to be victorious. It was the God of Jonathan. But it was Jonathan who said, Lord, use me in any capacity that you can. So he gets his armor bearer. He said, we got to do something. Give me a saint of God to get somebody. I said, we got to do something. Let's get a prayer chain started. Let me tell you something, folks. Prayer chains work. I said, prayer change work. Thank God, prayer change work. We got testimonies right here in our congregation that knows for a fact that prayer was made and things happened even before they got to the hospital, even before the doctor checked them out. Prayer had been made and God had delivered. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, we need to get some people together. You see, Jonathan realized, you don't have to outnumber the enemy to win. Turn me up, brother. You don't have to outnumber the enemy to win. When God's on your side, that's all we need. Praise God. So, he decided to go fight the enemy. And God's spirit was with him. Hallelujah. God honors obedience. Jonathan was not satisfied to hide trembling in fear in a cave afraid of the enemy. You'll never experience victory hiding in the cave or the rocks. And let me tell you something. We just need a Jonathan. Jonathan, you know what? If I'm going to go down, I'm going down swinging. I'm going to give it my best shot. You hear that, Satan? I'm not going to give in to you. There's a spirit of Job that rides up in us sometime. Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. I brought nothing into this world, and I'll take nothing out. Oh, but where I'm going, but where I'm headed is so much better than what is down here. Go ahead, Satan. Give me your best shot, because God is within this vessel, and I will be victorious, and I will not hide in a cave, and I will not hide in the rocks, and I will not hide in the pits. So Jonathan and his few men, against all odds, climbed up the high side of a cliff and was victorious and caused many of the Philistine army to turn and run. Glory to God. It is amazing to me that in so many instances, God's people were outnumbered heavily. But with God's help, God's people were victorious. I want to tell you what happened when Jonathan was obedient. You see, Jonathan was the son of Saul, but his personality was totally different than Saul's. Saul was all about Saul. Jonathan, even later on, loved David even more than he loved his own family. Why? Because he saw the anointing of God on David. He recognized, man, God's got a great service for him. God's going to use him. And even if I have to disobey my natural father, I'm going to follow the anointing of God. And he loved David like a brother. But Jonathan had a zeal to see God move. I'm just looking. I do that sometimes in stores. They'll walk, "Can I help you, sir?" "I'm just looking." "Well, if you need me, I'll call you." But I'm just looking. I took Trey yesterday to Collinsville, that big flea market. And we were just looking. We were already on strict direction from his mama. Do not bring back any animal. I'm telling you, whatever you buy out there, it better not be a live animal. Trey said, "What about just a turtle?" She said, "Nothing. No animal." So as soon as we got there, we had to go up to the top of the hill where all the animals were. And Trey would just say, "We're just looking." "But Papa, wouldn't it be nice? Look at these two little baby goats. Wouldn't it be nice if we brought them home?" I said, "Don't even think about it. We're just looking." I said, "I would be in bigger trouble than you if we took them two baby goats to your home. So we're just looking. But I'm just looking. And I know that I don't have the ability to see a spiritual Jonathan. But God does. The spiritual Jonathan may not be from the pulpit. Could be. May not be in the choir loft. Could be. May not play an instrument. But it could be. But could be sitting right there in this congregation. And you probably, If you are a spiritual Jonathan, you're saying, Lord God, please don't let it be me. You know, I don't bring any notice to me, and I just want to be a part of, you know, God, don't let it be me, please, Lord. Don't let Brother Eddie stare at me right now. And see that spiritual Jonathan. But I want to tell you something. When Jonathan decided to be obedient unto God, the way I read it, he didn't really want the attention. He didn't want the praise from man. He just couldn't understand why the rest of God's victorious people were trembling and hiding, tucked away in caves and thickets and rocks and pits, when they ought to be out living and operating by faith. So he gets his few men. And the first thing he does, he has to climb the mountain, the face of this cliff, to be victorious. And they come up with such fervor and such power and such might that they overwhelm the enemy. And guess what happened? A great and mighty church revival broke out. Even in the rocks and the thickets and the pits and the cliffs, news travels. The Philistines are on the run. Jonathan and his ragtime army, amen, they're victorious. And you know what happened? The church came out of the rocks. The church came out of the pits. The church came all over out of the thickets. And they begin to unite. And they begin to pray. And they begin to move forward with a mighty, anointing hand of God leading them. You'll never, ever taste victory hiding in the rocks. When the church comes out, I said, when the church comes out, I'm not talking about just First Pentecostal. I'm talking about ever believing saint of God. When we unite under God's authority and under the leadership of God Almighty, we will taste victory. We will experience victory. Souls will be won. Lives will be changed forevermore. Unfortunately, Saul's spirit did change. And not for the better. Not for the better. Because Saul was all about Saul, just to be honest with you. And that's the reason that God formulated that plan. Bring up a little nobody, a little shepherd boy. And from that shepherd boy, the house and lineage of the root of Jesse came out. Hallelujah. A little baby was born in Bethlehem in a manger. The spiritual world was so distraught. They were so upset because they thought their king would be born in great grandeur, splendor and majesty. But God saw this little baby boy, the Son of God, that was born in a stable, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a cow trough. We call it manger because it sounds so good, but it was a cow trough. And he raised that person up to be the king, amen, that died on the cross of Calvary to save a world full of lost sinners. Hallelujah. Because when Jesus came out of the tomb, come on, symbolic, victory's not in the tomb. Victory's not in the rock. Victory is coming out of the tomb, coming out of the rocks, coming out of the thickets, coming out of the pits, coming out of our hiding, amen, and pre what we're supposed to be, that is the mighty army of Almighty God. Would you stand? Hallelujah. Rather than praying, God, don't make me be Jonathan, say, Lord, help me to be a spiritual Jonathan.
Help me to come out. Help me to do more for you than I've ever done. Every head bowed, every eye closed, every saint of God praying. I told you at the very first of this message, it was not at all what I had studied for, what I had planned for. But I pray that it has, I pray that it has sunk deep into our spirit, into our soul. It's made us realize that even though we think we're nothing, the God that is within us is everything. Amen. We can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens us. With every saint of God praying, every head bowed. Is this your day to be that spiritual Jonathan? Is this your day to say, you know what? I'm tired of being afraid. I'm tired of living in fear. I'm tired of being in constant worry over everything that's happening. Because there is something that's within me, thank God. And it has nothing to do with my physical abilities or my mental abilities. It has everything to do with the Spirit of God that is within me. And He has given me a spirit of power, a spirit of determination, and a spirit of survival. If you've not used those great attributes of the Holy Spirit, amen, maybe this would be the day. Said, Lord, help me to be more spiritual. Help me to depend on You. Is there one that would make their way down to this altar? I pray that you would not think that anyone here would be judgmental. This altar is for everyone. This altar is for anybody, for whatever that need may be. If you would make your way down to this altar, we'll pray with you and we'll pray for you. And if there's not a spiritual Jonathan in this church, in this congregation, let's pray that God will raise up one somewhere, because we need that. We need that power. God bless. Some of you saints of God, gather around. You elders, let's pray.
Heavenly Father, God, I pray Your power. I pray Your anointing. God, upon Your surety right now. God, I feel a desire deep within His spirit, deep within His soul, God, to reach out, to do more. God, but He needs You. That's going to jump ahead of you, but He needs you right now, God, to lead him, to guide him, to use this vessel. Right now, we anoint him for Your service, God. Bless him. Bless him. Anoint him. Open up the door. Make a way in the name of Jesus right now. God, we dedicate our service. We dedicate our life. We dedicate our bodies unto You right now. For unto me, You. In the precious name of Jesus.
Thank You, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Praise Your name.
Thank You, Jesus.
Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You,
You out. I have set you apart. Keep your eyes on me. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Hallelujah. Keep looking forward. Hallelujah. I have called you out for my purpose. Hallelujah. Thus saith the Lord.
Yeah.
I have a work for you to do. Hallelujah. Keep your mind on me.
Lord.
Keep your eyes on me. Woo. Don't turn around. Keep going forward. Thus saith the Lord.
Yeah.
He did up a soul.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
just the mention of your name. Flowers grow, the desert blooms again. Like fire. The mention of your name. Flowers grow, the desert blooms again. Like fire in winter cold. The mention of your name. It's like a lighthouse to a sailor in a midnight storm. It's like a harbor to a ship that's been battered. Starving heart, like water to a soul that's parched. Jesus, just the mention of your name. Jesus, just the mention of your name. The desert blooms again, like fire in winter cold, like pure precious gold. Jesus, just the mention of your
Thank you.
This one may be unusual, but we serve an unusual God. God bless you. We love you.
Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is a little out of the ordinary, as Brother Eddie says, and they were talking. Our services get turned around, but God's word going out is the most important thing. And just to praise God for His mercy and His graces and love for each and every one of us. If I get your attention just for a couple of minutes, got two big announcements. One of them is, as y'all know, October's Pastor Appreciations Month. And I've been given some little more information. I was asked this question last week. Next Sunday, the 17th, right after the AM service, we will be having our annual Pastor Appreciation Luncheon. So we'd like to celebration, lunching, all that we have. We're so honored with our pastor and his family. We're so blessed, and I would so thank Lord for leading us to this church, my family personally. But it's going to be the same format as homecoming. The church will be providing the meat, and we're asking everyone to bring side dishes, desserts, drinks. Yes, ma'am.
Actually, I have a list of side dishes that you need.
Okay.
You'll see me after church.
Okay, you'll catch them at the end here. Okay, and for those that aren't with us, just bring whatever you can bring that would help. I'm sure she will accept that. All right. And then the other announcement as we go forward and then we celebrate this, I want to ask Brother Eddie if he'd come up just for a minute. We'd do it earlier, but we would just like to thank you. Celebrate 30 years. Yes. You've been a pastor and a minister. You know, I said it just then as I was speaking. When my family came here, you were already established, not many years in, but just to watch and just to be part of the ministry that you brought forth this church and all your love that you show. But this is just a small portion of the people that love you, that's had a chance to sit under you, had a chance to be ministered to you by you. There's so many families. I know they're watching online. There's so many that want to celebrate this pastoral celebration with you, and it means so much to each and every one of us. And we give God the glory. Yeah. We give God the glory, but also we thank Him for loving us enough to bring us all together as His church family. And we have just a little token for you we'd like to give to you.
Thank you.
Like I said, if y'all can just hold tight just for a minute, but let Brother Eddie just have a moment. Miss Penny, I know she's here. This is your support and everything else, but just praise God.
Yeah, I want to thank God, first of all, certainly my wife for putting up with me. And thank you, church, for all your extended love and support and faith over the years. We appreciate you so very much. And thank you for the wonderful love offering as well. I don't have any words right now because I just preached.
Amen. And
I think I've dumped everything on you that I know right now. Just it went out. But in times like this, thank you doesn't seem to be sufficient. But as you hear my lips, please discern my thank you from my heart. Because if I speak too much, my heart will well up in my eyes and begin to tear up. But it's been a journey. It's been a long journey. But thank you for sharing it with us and being with us. And we love you so very much. God bless you. Thank you again. Appreciate you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And we do thank God for just all the things that He does in our lives, and He uses you as that vessel, and we just praise the Lord. Also, now that my notes have been changed. Sister Linda's got a different, so y'all get with her on the side dishes. And also, just remember as we bring forth just some other announcements as we do every year when we have a gathering. It's just a great social time, a great time, and help us get the word out, because I know there's people watching online, but there are also people to the traveling that aren't going to be able to be with us today that will be here with us next week. So we praise God. And also for the shoeboxes, they'll have the sign-up sheet again this morning. Then we'll let it rest for a few weeks for those of you that want to see. Sister Lane and them will be back. They're on their trip this weekend. So just want to praise God. And also choir practice at 5. For those of you that like to... Amazing Grace. Okay, maybe I can get some of those announcements brought up here too and we can help before we get going. But don't forget about the Amazing Grace. Praise God. And out of Bell Circle. Yes, ma'am.
Next week is my last chemo.
Amen. Powerful. Powerful. Praise God. Praise God. God's great. Amen. And through the healing on her, she's got a testimony of family members that say, well, we know that you go to, you know, God answers, he's healing you, and family members that are reaching out saying, well, maybe I need y'all to pray for me too. So God works through our testimonies of praise. Praise God. All righty, with this prayer, we're going to be dismissed. We want to see y'all all back at service this evening. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your name. Lord, thank you for your word, dear Lord. Thank you, dear Lord, for your love for each and every one of us. Dear Lord, as we go forth today, Lord, we ask for you to keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time, dear Lord, for all the festivities and celebration for our pastor, dear Lord, that we've set forth. Lord, we want to put you first in these honors. Lord, we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. And we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says,
amen,
amen. Amen. Praise God.